UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, if you were with us at the start of the show, among other things, we discussed the great growth of esports in this country and a lot of people paying it attention today because the Fortnite competition ended with a $3 million first prize, and people who know a little bit more about it than others were quick to send texts to us and comments about, well, this is the biggest, but there's other and a lot of esports going on. The NBA has their own esports league. A lot of NFL owners involved with ownership. And we are always left behind here in Louisville when something big seems to get on the scene. Sadly, that's just the reality if you look at the history. Well, here's one that would certainly be, looks like it's going to be a big, big thing going forward. And Noah Smith, who's a contributor for the Washington Post, joins us to talk about that. Noah, thanks for being with us. First of all, let me ask you, where we are in the curve, in your opinion, for this? In other words, is it just the very tip of the iceberg and this is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger? Or is it one of those things that can be cyclical and then we're going to see a downturn? What do you see on the landscape for esports in this country?
Sure thing. First, Bob, I have to say, Louisville might be behind on some things, but that intro music is tremendous. I have to say, spectacular stuff.
I'll tell my son, the producer, he'll be proud to hear that. Thank you.
Sure thing. And thank you for having me on. To answer your question, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I spoke with a venture capitalist a couple months ago, and she was saying, you know, this is like the NBA in the 60s or 70s. You know, you're looking at the valuations and the investments, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times these things are, like, you're trying to predict the future and trying to create momentum about things that don't yet exist. But if you're looking at sort of the trajectories and the trends and how people are involved and who's watching, I think it's whatever's above the tip of the iceberg. That's where we are.
All right, so let me ask you that now. Let's just say that a city like Louisville, the number 50 TV market, I don't know if that's a big deal for esports, but just to give you an idea about the size of our market, if they were to say, we really, really want to be part of this, is it hard to get involved? Like, we wanted to get an NBA team. That's almost impossible right now. That's very, very difficult. How hard is it to get in on all the fun with esports?
Well, that's exactly the point. It's that it doesn't matter. It's largely location agnostic. Because this thing was created online and because it's organically global, anybody can get in from any point. And so if you get a big talent, you know, say like a LeBron James or even somebody a little bit less than that, and they start winning matches and they start getting a stream and followers, the attention and the focus can shift to Louisville immediately, the same as it can shift to Shanghai, the same as it can shift to Milan. It doesn't really matter. And that's why, going back to your first question, why people are so excited about it from various different facets, whether it's media, the financial markets, fans, everything like that, is because it's not limited. I mean, you have certain leagues like Overwatch League, right, that wants to, and they are sort of tying teams, franchises to cities. So if you're talking about Overwatch League specifically, it's probably going to be difficult for Louisville to get involved in that game. But at the same time, there's dozens of games and certainly hundreds of millions of viewers. So I don't think there's many barriers to entry.
How much of the way we evaluate what's going on with esports has to be outside the traditional way we've evaluated sports? In other words, my understanding is, what is the platform? It's Twitch. Is that what it's watched on? Is that the one? I mean, most people who watch NBA or NFL or anything probably don't even know about Twitch, but that's a big, it's a source of a lot of viewers and a lot of money. So when you evaluate this, how much do we have to take traditional kind of yardsticks and put them away and really see it completely differently?
I think that's a great question. Because so often the knee-jerk reaction is just to sort of default back to, hey, let's compare this to the NBA or let's compare this to the NFL. But the reality with esports is that it's not just about the competition. So it does, as you suggested, it requires a broader lens to really understand it, because what's going on here is certainly you have the competitions, right, like we just had over the weekend. But at the same time, you have people building followers just streaming, basically where they're recording themselves or streaming themselves while they're playing the video game. So if you can imagine, there's like a screen showing the video game, and then there's like a little square or rectangle at the bottom, like showing the person's face. And so people are getting entertainment out of this. And they're also seeing the competition side of it. And so in evaluating this or in trying to understand what it is, it requires understanding of both of those two things. And correct, as you suggested, it is taking place on Twitch. And the easiest way to think about Twitch is sort of like YouTube, but focused on video games and with people streaming live. And so, again, part of the appeal of this is also the fact that, say, for instance, you could watch Steph Curry just practicing and he's explained to you how he's going through his workouts and what he's doing and what he's thinking, this and that. And it's something that Kobe does on that ESPN show, a plug for that on ESPN, where he's explaining it and people are fascinated by it. And the same thing's going on here in esports and video games.
What's I lost my train of thought there. I was wrapped up in trying to find something on the internet. Oh, here's what it was, because I was trying to find the number exactly. Well, we all get swept up. Hey, the guy made $3 million. Yay. But somebody pointed out that I guess they ran a tournament for FIFA soccer and first prize was $50,000. So how viable a way to make a living is this? Or is it really just a very, very thin few number of people that are able to actually make their living doing this?
Sure. So it comes down to what living are you comfortable making. So if we're talking about seven figures, it's like the NBA or like acting or like, journalism even, so you talk about a thin few people that are like going to make millions or something like that. But then when you get away from that and you start looking at what's possible in terms of revenue streams at lower levels, it is increasingly sustainable. Now, I wouldn't recommend anybody goes out and quits school or quits their job and goes to do this, mostly because you can do two things at once: try to build up your following, get endorsements, and do it that way. And again, it provides mitigation against skill. I mean, there's some people out there who are doing this that aren't the best in any way, shape, or form, but they're funny or they're cool or they're whatever it is, and they're able to attract some followings. Now, you do have to have some skill, and I mean, nobody just wants to watch like a comic act, although I suppose people do want to watch comedy, maybe not in this specific venue. So I think that what we're going to see, and it's going to be interesting to track how this happens, is the maturation of this is what then becomes possible through the different revenue streams coming in here. So, endorsements, sales, partnerships, collaborations, because it's not niche anymore. I mean, any way you slice it, this is not niche. This is not just video game companies and computers and this and so on and so forth involved in this. This is broad now. I mean, every major company basically has a presence. How big varies and depends, but they're all here. And then as far as the money that's involved, just to give a scope and scale real quick, Epic, which makes this game, which makes Fortnite, is valued at $15 billion.
Phew, wow.
So that's one of the companies. And then you're talking about Activision Blizzard, which is another tens of billion dollar valuation, EA, even the smaller mobile game companies like Supercell, which makes the Clash of Clans and Clash Royale. I mean, you're talking there also, which is now owned by Tencent, which is more complicated, but you're still talking billions.
Amazing. It's really remarkable. Let me ask you this. You talk about how they can be kind of where you are geographically is not important, but I'm wondering, this may sound maybe a stupid question for somebody who knows more about these kinds of things than I do. What did we have, Nick, that they put in and they took out? Fiber optic cable they did, and then we were a test market and then they pulled it out or something. Google, is that what it was? Okay, so they,
yeah.
Do we have to have, would our city have to be somehow rewired? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, it's a great question also. The answer is no. The great thing about these games and the great thing about esports is that it does not benefit a person to have, say, the fastest, newest computer. There was a great story of an individual in Venezuela, of all places, who was playing on a 10-year-old system. This was League of Legends, a 10, 12-year-old system, and was competitive globally. So these games are made in such ways to optimize them for all different conditions, because the worst thing, sort of the cardinal sin of video games is lag, right? When you're trying to play something and it's like stopping,
yep,
you're not
yep.
up to date, and it's just, it ends the whole thing. And you can't do it. You can't be competitive if that's the playing field. And so the developers and engineers and game designers try extremely hard and make decisions so that people don't run into that, and so people are able to sort of be have an enjoyable experience no matter where they are and, you know, sort of what they're playing. Now, the exception to this, of course, is, say, like the event that we had over the weekend. And so in a case like that, you do want, I mean, obviously reliable internet, and you do want sort of, you don't want things to interrupt the game. But that being said, whatever I'm sure is in Louisville is good enough.
Noah Smith from the Washington Post talking esports with us here. And what kind of a presence does it have where you are? Are you in D.C.? And now I know, never know where anybody is who they work for, but assuming you're in the area, is it a big presence in the nation's capital?
It is a big presence in the nation's capital. I'm actually based in Los Angeles.
There we go. Perfect.
D.C. So, I'm a correspondent out here in L.A. In D.C. it is. There are a couple teams that are based there. There's one of those Overwatch teams I talked about. Then they used to have a minor league team. I think they moved out of there, though, for that same league. And then here in Los Angeles is sort of, I would argue, is the epicenter for esports in North America, if not, say, like the whole world besides South Korea and China. And that, the reason for that is because most of the teams, the organizations are based here, number one. Number two, we have several game developers that have a presence here and are based here. And this league, this Overwatch League and League of Legends, and both of the companies that make those two games are also based here in Southern California as well.
Is that where everything's going on? Silicon Valley, is it still out there? Or are these designers, like esports itself, now just popping up everywhere?
So it's a nuanced question. When you're talking about the major, like the big game companies, right? So they have a presence still in Silicon Valley, but also in Southern California as well. So in Los Angeles and Orange County. So like EA, for instance, is headquartered up there in Silicon Valley, but then Activision Blizzard is here in LA in Orange County. But Epic is in North Carolina. So it's another one of these examples where things are sort of moving out of the traditional coastal cities, and again, you know, it doesn't. It's funny to say it doesn't take much. It takes a heck of a lot, but you know, one game does it. You know, Supercell, one of these mobile companies, makes two games. Riot, which makes League of Legends, makes one game.
Wow!
And there again, we're talking billions of dollars of valuation. EA, of course, makes several games. Activision Blizzard, many games. But it varies. You know, there's nothing to stop somebody from there in Louisville from, you know, coding together games and seeing where it goes.
I know from reading about you before you came on the show that you actually had a chance to speak directly with Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, and he is one of, I guess it's a number of professional sports owners that have teams. I know Mark Cuban has a team. What did he have to say about it? I mean, obviously these guys get into it because they're rich and they say, hey, I can make money in this, but how much does he actually know about it? What did he have to say about his involvement with esports, and do you think he speaks for his fellow owners about the reason they got involved?
To answer the second question first, the answer is yes, he does speak for them because if you look at the way that the things unfolded, they followed him. So he was the first. There were other investments into esports prior to Robert Kraft, but when we're talking about Overwatch League, we're talking about the franchise model, which Overwatch League was the first one to pioneer that in esports. He was the first one to put his money down, and I think it was like it was reported like $20 million. And it was after he did that that there was sort of this sea change, and people started plunking down these amounts of money for franchises. Prior to that, it was like in the reportedly $1 to $5 million range for a franchise or an organization. And then in terms of our conversation, he, through his son also, Jonathan, who's involved in the social media of the NFL and into more of these newer technologies and newer engagements. So, you know, he's up on it. He's aware of it, and he, you know, is you know, asks great questions about it. And I'm not surprised because he's a man of conviction. You know, you look at his work taking players to Israel. He doesn't care about any blowback from that. And so I have a lot of respect for him in that regard, in doing things he believes in and sort of leading the way instead of trying to see where things are going and then making a decision.
Yeah, Jeff Wilpon, who owns one of the owners of the New York Mets, has a team, and we already talked about Mark Cuban. And I'm wondering because you know, like for traditional, you know, ball and stick or sports, you know, they'll recognize like the old timers. They'll come back. The Yankees have an old timers day. Couldn't you see? That'd be pretty cool. They should bring a whole bunch of people back, like to play Donkey Kong or something. Or like I read on your bio, you like duck hunt and track and field. That'd be great. Have an old timers day and bring out some of the 8-bit games.
I love it. I mean, this should be Louisville's thing. You should probably, I would be there for that. I would cover that. And I think there's a lot of nostalgia, and I think a lot of people would be interested. It's a great idea.
You know what? See that? Now I'm going to hold you to that. Never say anything on the air. Never do that, because we'll do it, and then I'll call you, and I'm going to say, oh, he reneged. He said he'd come out and cover it, and he's not here now. So,
Listen, I've been to Louisville, I think, only once or twice. You know, if you can sort it out during the Kentucky Derby, I'd love to come out during that. Just saying, you know, if we're picking times, like, I'd be happy to come out for that.
There's a lot of extra hotel rooms around town during Derby. Let me see if I can just grab one for you. No, thanks for joining us. I enjoyed it very much, and I will probably track you down again, because this thing seemingly has some legs, this story, and we'll see if it goes forward. I still hope we can get something done here in Louisville, but I don't, you know, I'm just the guy who makes suggestions. It's always easy to spend somebody else's money, so I gotta see if somebody else will do that. But if they do, we'll track you down again. Appreciate the time, Noah. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you.
All right. That was very entertaining, actually. Based in L.A., writes for the Washington Post. That is today's world. But there's an interview with him, how he got involved in it. He was not an esports guy, and he's actually just a reporter for them. He was covering the California wildfires.
Oh, wow.
That's not a team. I mean, wildfires.
That team name would probably be in poor taste.
A colleague of his sent him an email about the Overwatch League opening, but they didn't know anything about it. Noah didn't know anything about it. And his editor said, too bad, you're covering it. He said, but I don't know anything about it. He said, well, get your butt there and cover it. So he went. He went to the media day, and he was interested, and then he reached out to Robert Kraft.
It was
Kraft
media day?
Back. Yeah.
There were, like, press conferences?
The Overwatch League was a big deal, evidently, from reading. I mean, they have franchises in all the big cities.
No, actually,
New York, L.A., and
I
when
could
Kraft
be wrong.
Put up $20 million, yeah, that'll get your attention.
I think he was actually one of the first major team, like, mainstream.
Well, he just said Kraft was, if you were listening to the interview.
No, I meant the league itself, because there were team sport, like team sports like Halo and stuff like that, and Counter-Strike and everything, but one of the first like major team ones to punch through was Overwatch. I'm trying to remember what the other one was. It wasn't Call of Duty, but anyway, yeah.
Here's the teams in the Overwatch League. The New York Excelsior something. I don't know what the hell that even means. The Vancouver Titans, the Atlanta Reign, REIGN, the Dallas Fuel, the Houston Outlaws, and the Seoul Dynasty. Okay, now let's see.
Seoul is in Korea.
Seoul is in South Korea.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. The New York Excelsior. They are currently number two in the league right now with a record of 19-3.
Hey.
Woo-hoo! Let's go, Excelsior!
Well, 19-3, and they're only in second? Who the hell is first?
Well, let's see. Oh, the Vancouver Titans are 22-1.
Canucks, they can ball.
Let's go see about the Seoul South Korean team.
Just when you say media day, like, I mean, yeah, I know it's a big deal and everything like that. It's still just kind of, I remember like 10 years ago us having this like argument and debate about whether or not like video games were sports or if they were athletes or this and that. And it's just, there's a media day now for video games.
Damn right there is. Now, this is bad news. If you're a Seoul, what are they? The Seoul Dynasty. If you're a Seoul Dynasty fan, now again, I understand I sometimes have a hard time keeping up with, you know, the new genre of video games and things of that ilk, but they are currently listed as the number 8 team in the league. On the title page, they only show 7 teams, and they're 12-11.
Ooh.
So something ain't right.
No. Did they play like a farm? Teams?
Is schedule it? Overwatch League playoffs. There's a whole crap ton of teams. Whoa. That was just what showed up on the first page. The top 6 teams make the playoffs, but there are 20 teams in the league. And the suckiest team, I'll give you 4 cities. You see if you can pick the suckiest team. They all suck, by the way. Boston, Washington, D.C., Houston, or Florida? Who's the suckiest of the bunch?
I'm going to go with either Boston or Washington.
You had two shots at it, and you missed it anyway. Florida, much like the Marlins.
I was just about to say.
2-20. They're 2-20. They played 22 matches and won twice.
Do they have like a crazy gaudy uniform?
They have
looks
a minus
like a
50
Walt
points.
Disney acid dream.
Points differential. See, I would rally around this. As much as the individual stuff is cool, I would love to have a team that you can follow. That's pretty cool. Vancouver leads the Pacific Division. New York leads the Atlantic. There are two divisions. And those two teams automatically get in the playoffs. Then the top four after that get in. So we should be in there. Seoul, South Korea. I don't know if there are any other foreign teams. Oh, yeah, Shanghai. The Shanghai Dragons right now are the first team eliminated from the playoffs. Number six team is London Spitfire. Oh, so this truly is a worldwide lead, which makes sense because the people don't actually have to be at the venue to play, right? They just play online, don't they? Or am I missing something? Like if you're playing London against Shanghai, nobody has to leave their home, do they? They just play where they are. So quality, affordable family entertainment. Vancouver's 22-1. Good Lord. That's pretty good no matter what your game is. So anyway, the Overwatch League. Good for them. And we are not part of that either. That's what we do.
I came in on the tail end of this conversation. So what
were
you talking about?
We've been talking esports for much of the program because for once in my life, as Stevie Wonder sang, I would like Louisville to be on the cutting edge of something rather than not only react, but react after the train has pulled out and then chase it down the track. Esports, we've just had people, guests on. I had an idea it was popular. I had no idea the B, not M, not millions, billions of dollars that are involved in this.
And is it in other countries? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. And what we found out is, you know, we knew about the kid yesterday that made $3 million winning the, what's the name of that game? Fortnite game.
Oh, yeah.
He made $3 million. Okay. But there's leagues now. There's the Overwatch League. They have a league with... let me see here. There's 20 teams in it from around the world. Shanghai, South Korea, China. It goes coast to coast in the United States. The best team is from Vancouver. I don't know if that's Vancouver, Washington, or Vancouver, Canada. New York is the second best team. See, at least we're getting
something.
There
you go. But do they play like an assortment of games?
No, just Overwatch. Isn't that a game? Isn't Overwatch a
Overwatch,
game?
Overwatch, yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I'm not
play.
Familiar with it
Overwatch.
As well as Fortnite, but...
Do you play Fortnite? Jamie plays Fortnite.
I have before. I'm not one of those. I don't actually have the game, and I'm not one of those guys that stays up all night. But
break into your neighbor's house and play his game?
No, my buddy has it, and he plays all the time. And so every now and then when I go over there, I'll jump on and play against him or something.
I've never tried it.
It's actually a game that
you could
like. It's a spectator sport kind of. You can actually watch it.
That's the other thing that they were telling us. When they play these events, they've sold out the Staples Center, the Barclays Center. Sold out. I mean, sell out crowd. No seats.
Fortnite's kind of interesting. When you get, my buddy will, you know, go online and he'll play against all the other people and actually just watching. I can sit there and watch it for a little while.
Well, that's what, you know, that's, and I've said I can watch, when they used to play, I used to watch them play, you know, well, the sports games. I'd watch them play the hockey version, the Madden. People watch Madden. I mean, you could, you know, that's what I think is the thing, is that it's not just for the players. I mean, the arenas, and the people watch that, I guess it's an app, is it? Twitch?
Mm-hmm.
The people are making millions of dollars what's the word I'm looking for? It's not broadcast, whatever you do on Twitch, but you know, making it so people can watch them play and they comment. Somebody's the analogy our last guest said, it would be like watching Steph Curry, you know, have a camera on Curry and a microphone as he goes through his practice. All right, here's what I'm doing, here's how I'm doing it, here's why I'm doing it.
The YouTube does a lot of that too. You can actually, I know Mitch, one of our nighttime producers, he actually will pull up YouTube videos, and it's like the screen in screen. It's like the picture in picture.
That's what they do. So they show the guy playing, he's commenting, and then the game's going on. No. Well, they do that for the matches too, evidently. So it's unbelievable. It's very, very cool. let's see. Let's go see how it plays out here. A lot of people texting.
I'm going to let Nick get back in here. That was fun, though. It's, right, this is an interesting conversation.
Nick, where do you go when you leave? I'm just curious.
He had to get some prizes for one of the winners out here. There was a V-Show winner out here, and we didn't have it in the winner's prize pack yet, so he had to go back and get it.
All right, very nice. Very good. All right, well, that, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Hall dropping in for a quick visit. Brian, thanks for stopping in. Pick up your lovely parting gifts on your way out. Thank you. Woodrow Wilson cheerleaders showing their appreciation. What else we got? Let's see. I guess we got to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk to Rob Nyer about the trade deadline. I've told you about a couple of other people, but I've got one more group I want to tell you about. It's my friends at Expert Sleep Medicine, because if you have apnea, and you may not, that's the thing. You know, it's one of those ads. Usually if they tell you, the person says, oh, yeah, that's me. I know that. Here's the problem with apnea. 80% of the people who have it don't know they have it. And when you have it, you increase the risk of heart attack, of stroke, of all sorts of bad things happening to you. You're less alert. It's really just a very, very bad and often undiagnosed problem. And the way to find out is to be tested. And the great thing is, unlike when you've got to go to a lab or something for other tests, you can take this test at home. They have Expert Sleep Medicine will give you this little band with a tiny little computer on it. Basically, it's recording, it's sending the records of what you're doing during your sleep, and they know from that exactly what's going on, and they can help you get a CPAP machine if you need it. Sometimes that's not what you need. Sometimes there are other ways for you to deal with your sleep issues. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not sleeping well, you're putting yourself in harm's way, and there's no reason to do it when it is so easy to get tested. It's inexpensive to get tested at home. It's accurate, and they will take care of you at Expert Sleep Medicine. So check them out. A couple of locations, I believe four in the area, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Nick? Is it four locations for Expert Sleep Medicine? Can't remember. I think it is. But the one I go to is over by in St. Matthews on Shelbyville Road. It's the one Nick goes to as well. So check them out. Expert Sleep Medicine. They'll take care of you. We'll come back. Rob Nyer. Trade deadline is going to be wild, I think. Well, maybe it won't, but it could very well be. We'll talk to Rob about that next. ESPN 680 1057.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.